Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
She was everywhere in the pop charts throughout the 70s. This song sold 15 million. You're the one that I want. Someone who knew her very well is Las Vegas entertainment reporter Cindy Perlman, who wrote her New York Times best-selling memoir, Don't Stop Believin'. And Cindy, good morning. I know you stayed at her house in the Santa Barbara area, so you're the one to answer this question. I have never seen so many beautiful, sweet comments about a person who has passed away. It rivals what everybody was saying about Vin Scully. Was she really the way people are saying she was?
Good morning, Bob. She was the real deal. Now, I was so lucky to be able to write her book with her. She was a very private person, but she decided at this juncture, a few years ago, she wanted to set the record straight and really talk. She'd give a lot of interviews over the years, but she was a pro who just sort of said a little bit. Mm-hmm. But this time she talked, and yeah, I got to stay at her house outside of Santa Barbara. Every morning we went out and got the eggs from her chickens, which my Chicago childhood never prepared me for. So we would get eggs for breakfast, and she was just so down to earth. She talked to my daughter on the phone all the time. She would just pick up the phone or grab it from me and go, "Hi, honey, what are you doing in school today?" Mm-hmm. And the same person, though, would say, "Oh, I don't remember that Grease story. Let's FaceTime John Travolta and see what he remembers." And all of a sudden, John Travolta would be on FaceTime, or Barry Gibb, or the singers from ABBA. I mean, it was just amazing how many people she knew and how many people she touched.
It was quite a life story. And as far as her early years in show business, did she have it pretty hard at first?
She had it hard because her parents divorced. They were academics. And they were in Australia. They were in London. She has a funny story. When she was a little older, she became a part of a group with her best friend, Pat. And they would go on dates in London just to steal the dinner rolls, because it meant they could have dinner and then breakfast with the rolls the next morning. So that was a win for them back in those days. They were literally starving, but they were singing, too.
Yeah. And when you were working with her on the book and there'd be a break and you would just stop the interviewing for a while, what did she like to do?
She couldn't ride horses anymore, which was one of her life's passions, because her cancer was in her spine. So she decided to adopt miniature horses. So she'd be like, "Let's just take a walk. We'll go visit Winston." That was her miniature horse. We'd walk around the property or sit in the sun or just talk. And she was very soft-spoken. And the other thing we did, which blew my mind, we sat and watched The Voice. When you write a book, you take a lot of breaks. So she would be like, "Let's watch The Voice." And it was so funny. You're sitting in Olivia Newton-John's kitchen watching The Voice after she made you dinner. And she's critiquing everybody in a loving way, but also, as you know, an icon and a singer.
Yeah, sure. Her husband, John, was extremely supportive. And throughout her battle with cancer, he really stepped it up, didn't he?
He really did. They have an amazing later in life love story. They both had dogs from the same litter, and they met over the years over these dogs. And then he finally asked her out, but he said, "Let's go to the Amazon for a few weeks," which, you know, not your typical first date. They went to the Amazon. She got super sick the first night, and he stayed with her. And a few weeks later, he was on a cliff ledge proposing to her, and they had a beautiful love story. He studies natural healing, so he was instrumental. These last 5 years, she was sick 5 years ago again. Cancer came back 3 times over her lifetime, and he was instrumental in keeping her pain-free and keeping her spirits up, which she had an amazing will. And also medically, they made a lot of discoveries together over this time.
I know you kept in touch over the years. Cancer research, I guess, was her number one priority of late. And as far as her spirit, it seems like, from everything I've heard and read, that she was always positive, wasn't she?
She was so positive that she was unflappable, and that she was going to recover from this. She didn't ever let you see that there maybe was a doubt. She believed in her heart. She talked about going to chemo over the years and that the chemo was like liquid gold going into her system. And she just believed hard. All she wanted to do, she said, was sit on her front porch at that ranch and watch her daughter and hopefully grandchildren someday and all, have all her animals around her. And that's what drove her through three cancer battles over 30 years. That's such a long time, and but so many triumphs over cancer during that time. So that's really something just to marvel about her.
What a life to marvel at. The book is Don't Stop Believing, the Olivia Newton-John memoir, and the writer, Cindy Perlman, in Las Vegas. Thanks for sharing some of those memories, Cindy.
Thanks, Bob.